As we age, life changes. When we retire, many of us lose a circle of friends and associates and even a sense of purpose. As our bodies change, it becomes harder to do the things we've always done. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In spite of the challenges of aging, our senior years hold a great deal of potential. This hour, active aging. I'll talk with Colin Milner, founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. I'll also talk with the woman behind an innovative program for seniors through Iowa State University Extension. It's called LIFE, Living Well Through Intergenerational Fitness and Exercise. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. By 2017, half of the population in the United States will be over the age of 50. We're living longer than ever before, and today we're going to talk about making the most of that time. Later in the hour, I'll talk with Sarah Francis, who's creator of an innovative fitness program for seniors through Iowa State University Extension. But my first guest today is Colin Milner. He's founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. He'll be giving two presentations today at the Senior Center in Iowa City. At 3:30, he'll be talking about building age-friendly communities. And at 7 o'clock this evening, redefining the image of aging. Colin, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Well, you have been working in the field of health and fitness for many years. About 20 years ago, you decided to alter your focus a little bit, to focus on aging. What did you see that made you feel that was where you should be focusing your energy?
Well, back then, in 1994, it was the year 1994. And what ended up happening was I was involved with a fitness equipment company at the time called Kaiser Fitness Equipment. And a lot of the research that was being done on aging was actually using our equipment. And I met with the folks at Tufts University who were doing the actual research. And it amazed me the results that you could get no matter how old you were. They were doing research in people well into their 90s and showed that no one died in the studies. They just simply got stronger. They got more independent. They were able to walk upstairs faster and more secure. And that really was quite enlightening to me. And I thought to myself, now, why is the rest of the world not doing exactly what that is? And so I took it upon myself at that stage to kind of shift my focus and really look at how we can help people to age well.
So you got a glimpse of what people are capable of if they exercise and if they continue to use their bodies in their later years.
Absolutely. And we are highly capable of doing some amazing things. The question is, do you want to?
Now, as this demographic shifts, of course, we have baby boomers in their senior years now. And this is a generation that has sort of redefined life every time they hit a milestone. Are things different for seniors now? Are the people who are entering their golden years and in their golden years, people who are used to a different kind of lifestyle?
Well, absolutely. If you think about it, at the turn of the 1900s, the average person lived to the age of 47 years of age. What we've done is we've added an additional 30 years of life or more. And now the question is, what do you do with it? And that simple fact has changed literally everything. We're now focusing on not just longevity, but quality of life. So we're focusing on what can we do to improve that quality of life. It used to be that you would retire, you would sit down on your porch, you would rock yourself to death. In a way, where now, if you look at it, that you have people like Mick Jagger out there who's rocking himself to life at the age of 70. And these are people who are showing what we are capable of doing. And that's really what the exciting part of all of this research shows nowadays, is that you're never too old.
Well, let's talk about the communities that we live in, because I know that that's part of your focus, is making sure that communities are thinking about this aging population as well. What are some of the factors that a community needs to be focused on as the population within the community ages?
Well, I think some of the main factors are how do we keep people active? Because physical activity is, in my mind, one of the keys to longevity. If you can't get up out of bed, can't get up out of chair, can't get up off of a toilet, you have a problem. So how do we actually keep people engaged? How do we build them to be strong? And our legs are our foundation. So how do we help people stand strong? You know, from there, the other aspects are things like socialization. There was new research that came out a couple of weeks ago that showed that isolation actually has twice the health risk as obesity. So if you think about it, you know, we are spending all of this money to counter obesity. Some would say we're also spending a lot of money to actually create obesity. But, you know, what are we doing around social isolation? You know, people not getting out into the community. That's why things like having places to go. You know, you mentioned that I'm speaking at the senior center. What a wonderful opportunity for people to actually go somewhere and actually connect. And that is a crucial thing as we get older.
We've done had some conversations recently about retirement on the air here. And that seems like such a crucial point in someone's life where if their world, their social world has been all about work. When they leave work, then isolation can become a very difficult problem. So let's talk about individuals. I mean, it sounds like some of the things that you're recommending for communities are things that are being recommended for communities to help people of all ages, just making sure that they are walkable communities and communities that encourage people to move their bodies and to be fit. But let's talk about individual choices that people make, because when you reach that retirement age, I'm sure a lot of people look forward to rest and relaxation, but they can also find, wait a minute, I don't have a reason to get out of bed tomorrow.
Well, rest and relaxation actually can also be your greatest enemy. Because if you relax too much, you may find yourself relaxing in a coffin, as opposed to actually being out and engaged in life. And I mean that literally, because as we just talked about, if you spend all day sitting, as an example, you can take 2 years off of your life, whether it's in retirement or whether it's in a job. So the question really becomes is retirement isn't what it used to be. Retirement really now is just simply a different stage of life. It's a new chapter. What do I want to do with that chapter? It's not about sitting on the porch in the rocking chair anymore. It's actually about getting out there, maybe finding a new career, maybe mentoring the young, traveling. The challenge for a lot of people is that they're not sure what's next. You know, do I have enough money to do this? Am I healthy enough to do this? And that's really where seeking guidance around that can really help you address those kinds of opportunities and issues that you maybe haven't explored prior to retirement, because we really don't do a good job of planning for retirement. So a little bit of guidance just before you retire probably isn't a bad thing.
So what do you recommend for people who are reaching that retirement age? I mean, obviously, we spend a lot of time thinking about finances and planning to make sure that we have enough money for retirement. What other planning do we need to be doing?
Well, we end up going through an awful lot of change as we begin to get older. I think we need to plan, number one, our health, to make sure that we're healthy as possible, if for no other reason than to minimize your healthcare costs. We know that healthcare is rising, the cost of healthcare is rising in the country. And if you are on a fixed income, one of your major potential costs could be your health. So how do I minimize that? How do I reengage in the community if really the person that is around me all the time is my wife and my friends have moved away or my kids have moved away? And, you know, how do I actually challenge my cognitive abilities so that I'm actually able to get back into the workforce if I choose so, volunteering or actually, you know, finding a new career? One of the fastest growing areas are franchises for people 50 and older. So I think that there are a lot of things to look at when you're actually getting older and you're getting close to that age of retirement. A lot of people talk about that this is the time that your kids will have moved out and that, you know, you'll have some freedom. Well, you know, 47% of kids are actually moving back home. So that whole Freedom 55 may not be as much freedom as you think. And then you add in that maybe your parents are moving in with you as well. So how do you plan for things like that? And that really is where, as I mentioned before, figuring out what's next becomes crucial. If I was someone listening to this out there at the age of 50, I'd be sitting down and trying to figure out, okay, what's my next 20 years going to look like? If I'm at the age of 65, what's my next 20 years going to look like? It doesn't matter where you are. What's my next 20 years going to look like? And how do I make what I want to do happen?
You mentioned the dangers of isolation. How do you plan for that? I mean, that sort of feels like it's a lot more up to chance. And again, a lot of us, our social circles revolve around our careers and work. So I can imagine a lot of people, when they retire, suddenly, right, I don't interact with people on a daily basis other than my spouse, if I have a spouse.
And that really becomes a high focus of actually going out into the community, out into playing in leagues. As an example, do you play softball? There's a lot of senior leagues out there right now. There's senior games if you're into sports. If you're into learning new things, going to, as an example, the senior center and actually getting some education. And at the same time, you're interacting with others around you, making new friends. The hub. Find somewhere that there is a hub, that there's a lot of other people like yourself or that you would like to meet. And wherever those hubs are, go there.
It seems like that could be very daunting, though. After years of comfort in a job, suddenly having to get out there and be extroverted and make new friends, that could be scary for a lot of people.
It could be, but it's not. You know, how do you make new friends? Hi, how are you? My name's Colin.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Colin Milner. He is founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. And you can join our conversation with your questions, with your anecdotes, with your concerns. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Coming up in a little while, I'll be talking with Sarah Francis. She is the creator of an innovative fitness program for seniors through Iowa State University Extension. It's called Life, Living Well Through Intergenerational Fitness and Exercise. And also, I want to mention that Colin Milner will be giving two presentations today at the Senior Center in Iowa City at 3:30. He'll be talking about building age-friendly communities. And at 7 o'clock this evening, redefining the image of aging. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about active aging, and my guest right now is Colin Milner. He's founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. He'll be giving two presentations today at the Senior Center in Iowa City at 3:30. He'll be talking about building age-friendly communities, and at 7 o'clock this evening, redefining the image of aging. And Colin, before the break, we were talking about some of the decisions that individuals have to make as they reach retirement age, et cetera. Let's talk about some of the things that they have to deal with regardless of the decisions that they make. And that is, of course, health care. And we've talked about exercise, of course, being a big key to preventing some of these problems. But even so, a lot of people over the age of 60 are dealing with chronic health conditions, right?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, about 80% of the population over the age of 65 have at least one chronic health condition, and many of them have multiple chronic health conditions. I like to call chronic health conditions generally lifestyle issues, because many of them actually come because of the lifestyle we lead, such as high blood pressure and type 2 diabetes and things like that that actually come from being inactive, not getting out there. So the way to minimize those issues, once again, is to look at things like physical activity, leading a balanced lifestyle, tearing up your lifetime drive-through membership card at McDonald's, things like that, helping to figure out how to regain some energy in your life so that you actually aren't saying, oh, I can't do this because I'm tired. The reality is you're tired because you're not doing it.
For someone who has never participated in a regular exercise program in their entire lives, I can imagine that at the age of 65 or 70 or older, thinking about beginning an exercise program would be really a daunting prospect.
It can be if you focus on it that way. There's two attitudes out there. There's the I can't. And there's the I can. And, I'm not trying to create a rose-colored glasses to look through. But if you first off look at it as this is something I can do. People always say, how do you start a walking program? And I always say, put one foot in front of the other and walk. And now, that isn't being trite. That's being realistic. Now, you may only be able to walk down to the end of the block and back. But maybe the following day you walk to the end of the block and a little bit more and a little bit more. You and I were speaking before we went on air about, the 10,000 step amount that a lot of people strive for. And the reality is that a lot of people at the very start can't do that. That's okay. If you're only able to do 600 steps, that's okay. Think, what will I be at a year from now? Okay, and go 600 to 650 to 700 and on up. Now, I would start personally with strength training because once you've built that foundation, then it makes it easier to go the distance when you're doing things like walking.
How much exercise makes a difference?
Well, the minimum guidelines, now, once again, this is what the government says. The minimum are 150 minutes a week of cardiovascular exercise. The reality is, if you can't do that, build up to that. But that's really the minimum of where some of the key health benefits begin to come in. We talked about the rising cost of healthcare and that people, that's one of the issues that they face as they get older. This is your health insurance. This is one of the ways to help counter that, to minimize that. And I can't overstate that point enough. Now, from there, you want to do some strength training 2 to 3 times a week, because what happens is between the ages of 35 and 70 to 75, we begin to lose our strength if we're inactive, and we lose about 50% of our strength. That's the equivalent of me putting you in my back if you weigh the same as I do and walking around all day. Do you think that would make a difference in your life? Sure it would.
Yep.
So my goal is to get me off of my back, and the only way of doing that is to build my strength. But we also lose 75% of our power, which is our ability to respond. So let's say if I'm about to fall, what prevents me from responding in time is my inability to react. So we want to also engage in power training. Now, that sounds very intimidating. It's not really. Think about it as reaction training. And then, of course, the key is also balance. About 30% of us fall every year, and 50% of us that do fall will fall again within a 12-month period. And we all know that the repercussions of falls are significant. So, incorporating a very basic balance training program throughout the week when you're doing your strength training or you're doing your cardiovascular exercises, it really can go a long way to preventing those falls or reducing the potential of those falls. And then lastly, of course, is flexibility. It's pretty hard to drive if you can't turn your neck and actually see the car behind you. So, looking at your flexibility, that will also help avoid some of the aches and pains of getting up out of a chair and your back just killing you.
Where do you recommend that people start? I mean, you talked about walking. Now, that is pretty simple and easy to understand. Start walking. But talking about lifting weights, again, that can be daunting to somebody. So if somebody's thinking, okay, you know, I want to remain mobile, I want to remain active, I want to make a change in my life, who do they turn to help them get started?
Well, the first place you turn to is someone that actually knows what they're doing. So as an example, you have a great resource. You've mentioned it a few times here, the Senior Center, where they can go in and they can actually speak to someone about what their health is, what their issues are, and how they can actually counter those issues. They can also go online and download the book, Physical Activity and Exercise Guidelines from the National Institute on Aging. And it outlines exactly what to do and how to do it. They can use milk cartons or milk jugs instead of weights. Anything that provides resistance. The nice thing about being in a structured environment is you have social support. You also have someone that shows you whether you're doing it correct or not, and also someone that can help you progress. And it's the progression that is the key to making sure you're getting the results.
I'm talking with Colin Milner. He's founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. We're talking about active aging this hour. And of course, we welcome your comments and questions as well. Mary is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. I'm a member of the Iowa City Senior Center, and I'm coming to your talk. I'm coming to your 3:30 talk.
Excellent.
I can't come to the 7 p.m. talk because I have to go to City Council because they're 3 votes away from getting the Senior Center closed down. They don't see the value. The City Council doesn't see the value of the center. But you talked about everything. It keeps you from being isolated, lets you make friends. And then they're working this guilt trip on seniors about entitlement. And I think we're entitled to a place to go.
Well, Mary, I would completely agree with you. I think, unfortunately, it would be a travesty if that took place. And I'll tell you why, and that is that, you know, we all need somewhere to go. We all need a community that we need to feel part of. And senior centers across the country provide those kind of opportunities. They also provide the opportunity for people to grow as individuals and reskill themselves in many communities if they're looking at getting back into the workforce. So I would, recommend strongly that they take a really close look at that. Now, I'm not sure what the reasons are because I'm not from here, of course. But, I can tell you that, in my experience, all around the world, there is great value in organizations who are helping to support the cause of seniors. One of the big issues, unfortunately, is that we don't have enough services for older adults, whether it's healthcare aides, whether it's direct care, whether it's geriatricians, whether it's senior centers. We don't have enough people in places. In one of our responses to that, of course, especially in somewhere like Japan, is robotics. Well, I'm not sure if the American population is prepared yet for a robot to be giving you your workout, but who knows?
Mary, thank you very much for your call. And I want to bring Sarah Francis into the conversation now. She's an assistant professor at Iowa State University. She's also a state nutrition extension and outreach specialist, creator of an innovative fitness program for seniors called LIFE. That stands for Living Well Through Intergenerational Fitness and Exercise. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. Thank you for having me today.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And this really is an unusual program. Describe it for us.
The LIFE program is an intergenerational fitness program that uses exergaming technology. So exergaming is using video games to promote physical activity. And we are doing this in 20 rural counties around Iowa for those rural residing older adults and asking younger adults who are a little bit more comfortable with technology to lead an 8-week session for the older adults.
And by younger adults, you're talking about people in their upper teens, low 20s?
Yep, upper teens, low 20s. So about age... What we've tested so far is age 16 to 26. That's usually the age group that we're able to recruit, and that includes high school students and college students here in Iowa.
What was your inspiration for this program?
I moved to Iowa in 2009, and talking to some senior center managers, I learned that older adults were waiting in line at some sites for 20 to 30 minutes to use the Wii, which is an extra gaming tool, because they didn't know how to work it. Only one person at the site knew how to work it. And I got to thinking, how can we use our younger adults in Iowa to help the older adults become more comfortable with that technology and get them moving more?
And rural seniors have some specific risks, right?
They do. Rural older adults, research indicates, are less physically active than their urban counterparts. And a primary reason for this is access. Rural residing older adults do not have access to safe locations. Typically, those communities do not have safe walking trails. In Iowa, we have very long winters, as we're experiencing this year.
Yes.
And so walking outside during the winter months is not safe for an older adult because of the risk of falls. And also with rural communities, they lack people. And that's why we really wanted to use an intergenerational approach, because a valuable commodity that rural communities have is their younger adults. And so how can we get the two generations to interact and have mutual benefit for both?
I can imagine that there are benefits for the young adults as well. What do you see those as?
Well, based on the Life One pilot program that was tested a couple years ago, we saw that the 8-week interaction with the older adults, with the younger adults, led to improved understanding of aging. It led to reduced ageist viewpoints by the younger adult. And also younger adults started viewing aging as a positive life experience, more so than a negative one. And that's really important. Research shows that if you have a positive outlook on aging, you're more likely to age healthfully.
Now, I know that we've been talking about the importance of senior centers. And of course, a lot of communities have senior centers, although there are other kinds of infrastructure that really work mm-hmm. well to support seniors. And those are some of the things that a lot of smaller communities don't have, like rec centers or YMCAs, the kinds of places where seniors can go and get support with exercise. So is this a program that's taking place primarily in senior centers?
It's taking place at any location we can find. So during the pilot study, it was primarily at congregate meal sites. And there are some challenges to that. With the meal site, space was somewhat of an issue, and also timing. We can't interfere with the meal,
right.
Other activities at the meal site. So scheduling was challenging, particularly given the younger adults' school schedules, because the senior centers are often open during those school hours when the students may not be available. And so what we're looking at now with the LIFE program is our extension program specialist out in the field. They're working with high schools. We've had some high schools that are allowing students to receive physical education at PE credits for going to a local wellness center that's nearby and holding the class for older adults. We're working with assisted living facilities who are opening their doors to any older adult in the community. They do not have to be residents of that assisted living facility, and even senior apartments. And some local gyms are opening their doors free of charge for the older adults to participate in life. And so we're finding that there is a strong interest in our communities, and local businesses are willing to work with us to offer the program. And also our larger extension offices are opening room space for the program as well.
Oh, wow. We'll talk more in just a moment. I want to get back to the phones. Mary is on the line now in Altoona. Hello, Mary.
Hi. I just retired, relatively recently, and I would like to encourage people, kind of piggybacking on what she just said, that, you know, walking isn't always available in Iowa. And so before I retired, I budgeted so that, you know, I worked into my retirement to plan ahead to be able to join a gym or do something. And that can become a way to socialize and meet. I ended up having yoga, and I would also like to encourage people, if they can, at our age, to get a professional trainer, at least to start or at the beginning. That really helped me. I was so grateful that I had the money to do that. It ended up not being quite as expensive as I thought it was going to be. And my professional trainer, it was a yoga, just professional yoga teacher, you know, working one-on-one with me, allowed me to be able to advance better, feel better, you know, not be injured, kind of know what the heck I was doing and really enjoy my yoga. I would love to walk, but I live in a rural area, and I add that in when I can, but it's just difficult to do. And then the other thing on isolation, no one said it so far as, you know, church groups are great. You know, it's a place where you can go, and they always need help and need something, and they're usually really glad to see you. And I also continued to contact my former coworkers on Facebook, electronically, email, and that was really nice. And my coworkers happen to be quite a bit younger than I was, and again, now I guess I'm kind of, you know, their role model for, you know, how to retire and keep going. My goals when I retired, I was going to let it evolve. I didn't have it quite as planned. I just knew that I wanted to learn to relax and that I wanted to become more fit. And I was just kind of let things, you know, roll towards those goals. But
well, it sounds like it's working out well for you, Mary.
Yeah, it has. It has. I mean, I've been fortunate that I've done it. And I feel more fit and I feel better than I ever felt in the last, you know, 10, 20 years, because now I have the time to kind of focus on that, where before I didn't.
Well, terrific. Mary, thank you so much for your call. And we can talk about that in just a moment. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be back to our conversation on active aging in a moment. With me is Colin Milner. He's founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging, and Sarah Francis. She's an assistant professor at Iowa State University and state nutrition extension and outreach specialist, creator of a fitness program for seniors called Life. Living well through intergenerational fitness and exercise. You're welcome to join our conversation as well at 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about active aging. My guests are Colin Milner. He's founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging, and he'll be giving two presentations today at the Senior Center in Iowa City. At 3:30, he'll be talking about building age-friendly communities, and at 7 o'clock this evening, redefining the image of aging. Sarah Francis is also with us. She's an assistant professor at Iowa State University and state nutrition extension and outreach specialist. She's also the creator of an innovative fitness program called Life, Living Well Through Intergenerational Fitness and Exercise. And Sarah and Colin, I'm interested in both of your reflections on this. So with Colin earlier, we were talking about some of the strength-building exercises, that kind of thing that seniors can do. How much exercise can they get from playing the Wii, Sarah?
The way that our program is, we structured the Life program around the whole person wellness model. So with whole person wellness, it doesn't look at just nutrition and physical activity as wellness. It looks at social wellness, intellectual wellness, physical, emotional. And so what we wanted to do is make a structured program. So for the Life program, they get 60 minutes of physical activity a week and plus an additional 30 minutes of interactive activity, which is that team building, rapport building, that socialization. And what we found with Life One is that 60 minutes was enough to result in improved flexibility, improved hand grip strength, which is a good indicator of independence because of, opening medicine, opening foods,
sure.
And also endurance strength. And so that was just with 60 minutes of activity for 8 weeks. And then we did the program is actually a 25-week program. So it's 8 weeks where the younger adults, they are working, teaching the older adults how to use the extra gaming equipment, how to perform the activities correctly and safely. And then for the remaining 16 weeks of the program, they receive wellness newsletters. And we're trying the Life program trainers actually recruit older adults who are attending the program to serve as the program leaders after they leave. So we have that sustainability component of it. And what the CDC says is 90 minutes of physical activity a week can save you up to $2,200 a year in healthcare cost. And so when we calculated it based on what we were the data that we collected during Life One, is we were saving as a result of the Life program, we saved about $39,000 in health care, in potential health care savings costs as a result of the LIFE program.
Are you finding that people are re-enrolling for another 25 weeks when it comes around? Or they, you know, what can they do after this?
They are. Like I said, we're pilot testing it now through extension in about 20 communities. And every day I get an email from one of our program specialists saying, well, the group wants to re-enroll. Do they have to fill out the forms again? And so that's one barrier with the LIFE program because it's under evaluation currently.
Okay.
And so we don't make them fill out the forms again. But, yes, we have a high re-enrollment rate. We are finding that the older adults are enjoying it very much. They love the interaction with the younger adults. They also like getting to know new people in their communities. One of the questions we ask our program specialists monthly is, have any new social groups formed as a result of the LIFE program? And we are amazed at how many coffee groups are formed. One county, it was Mills County, the group that tested the LIFE program really liked it and wanted a bigger challenge. So they bought some exercise DVDs, and they're still going strong exercising. And they actually signed up for the last October's Healthiest State Walk. And so as a group, they're finding physical activity goals and achieving those.
So it's a seed that's starting some other things as well.
It is, and
that's exciting.
That's what we wanted the LIFE program to do. We wanted it to look at holistic wellness and not just one aspect of wellness.
Well, and Colin, obviously anything is better than nothing. What kind of research have you seen about exercising with these extra gaming type setups?
Well, the research out there shows that whether it's a Wii or Microsoft Kinect or whatever, being active, period, is better than not being active at all. Especially for individuals that maybe haven't done any form of exercise. When the Wii first came out, it was highly adopted amongst the older population because it was social, it was fun, it was intergenerational, and it was easy. Anybody could do it. So I certainly encourage anything that can get people more active and, you know, gain some forms of results. I think that the other part of that is, as Sarah had mentioned, and that is that, you know, a full whole person wellness model is actually what the International Council on Active Aging subscribes to. Our organization focuses in all seven dimensions of wellness. And, you know, a lot of times we look at these dimensions and take them individually. We're really, you know, it's about life. It's about being engaged in life. And if you're engaged in all of the various areas, you know, you'll incorporate these into your life as well. Now you can do that through structure or non-structure. Our challenge, though, if I may, coming back to physical activity, and the main reason I focus on physical activity, at least for this call right now, is that it is, in my mind, the foundation. Because as I mentioned earlier, if you can't move, can't get up, you have a problem. And let me give you a quick little story in that. About 5 years ago, my dad came to my house and all of a sudden, he wasn't walking as stable as he used to. And I looked at him. I said, Dad, what's up? And he said, oh, nothing. No big deal. And, next time he came and he was having a little bit more of a challenge walking up the stairs, and I was going, okay, listen, here, people asked me to go all around the world and talk to them about things. So let me give you some son-to-father advice. Here's the progression. What I see happening right now is that you are beginning to lose your strength. And what you need to do is you need to start regaining that strength because the repercussion is quite significant. Of course, you know, a son speaking to his father, what do I know? You know, he takes more advice from the garbage man who is delivering the garbage than me, but that's irrespective. Long story short, he went from having some challenges to walking on a cane, to walking on a walker, to being in a wheelchair, and now he is bedridden 5 years later. And it is funny because – it's not funny, but it is exactly the trajectory that I had mentioned at the time. The problem is that we tend to deny these kinds of things will happen to us until it has happened. So when you begin to see some of these issues happening, take action, whether it's in your own home, whether it's at a fitness center or YMCA or the senior center, but take action because, as I mentioned, one out of two people will be over the age of 50 by the year 2017. Well, actually, I didn't mention that. You did, but oh well, I'll take credit. But the challenge is, who's going to serve all these people? There isn't any one group that's going to be able to do it all. We need everybody to come together to actually make that happen.
Let's go back to the phones. Cheryl is on the line in Des Moines now. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I wanted to talk about retaining as many senior centers, congregate meal sites as you can, because I have been – I'm retired. I go to a congregate meal site here in Des Moines, so in Polk County, and that's great because not only am I assured of a solid meal a day, they have so many programs going on. It has social interaction for me because I might be stuck in my home, and a lot of the seniors I meet there would otherwise stay home, but they have social interaction. They get information on current events that affect health matters that affect seniors. There's exercise programs for arthritis. There's country dance, step dancing that helps seniors move around. There's wee bowling. There's all kinds of inclusiveness that otherwise would be missing. And I've met so many people up at the meal site that I otherwise would not have met. And there's plenty of opportunities that are available at these meal sites that would otherwise be not denied seniors. I use the computer available at the senior center to check my mail, my email, to go onto Facebook, to apply for work, to learn about news. There's just so much going on there. And I think that closing even one senior center is a tragedy.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for your comments. And obviously, we were talking earlier, Colin, about the importance of getting out there and taking advantage of the opportunities that are available for seniors.
Well, you can have a lot of services, but if they're not taken advantage of, they go to waste. The key is to say to yourself, what do I want to do? How can I do it? And where do I want to do it? And finding somewhere that is going to give you that support, whether it is socially, spiritually, emotionally, and, you know, within all the areas of wellness, and help you grow as an individual. Now, if you are out in farm country and you are unable to make it in, you know, nowadays there's a lot of things that are virtual. But if you are in town or in the close vicinity, there is nothing like people. I mean, yes, there's some people who just don't like people. Well, that's hallelujah, good. And you know,
not that many.
Not that many. Right. Let's hope not. But there are a lot of people who just really enjoy and thrive and grow from being around other people. And I think that wherever you can go, that you have that opportunity is going to help you in all the areas of wellness. And a key part is with your emotional health as well.
Well, and Sarah, you've created a program that is being successful in counties that maybe don't necessarily have great senior services or senior centers for people to really take advantage of some of these opportunities. Is that a real challenge in rural areas? I mean, I know a lot of small towns have senior centers, but there have to be a lot that don't as well.
I can't answer that 100% with accuracy, but I think that some of the more rural towns, they may not have a center devoted just to the seniors. It may be a church who opens their dining hall for the meal at the noon hour. It may not be offered 5 days a week. It may just be 1 or 2 days a week. And so I think that the Congregate Meal Program is trying to be in every town. But whether it's a center that's devoted just to seniors or if it's using already available space within that community, It depends on the resources.
Dick is on the line next in Dubuque. Hi, Dick.
I am. A couple things. You know, just I know quite a few older people that are actively involved in volunteering. They really pass on a lot of insights. In Dubuque here, we've got people up in their 80s and 90s that are still involved in a hiking club, and they know a lot of trails and all that stuff around Dubuque that would disappear with them. And, like, I was just in Port Dodge at the boxing match. There's a guy, 90, who's still a boxing coach. But anyway, the other part of it for me, I'm 65-plus, too, now, but it's opportunity for redemption. You know, during your life, you screwed up a lot. Now you've seen a lot of guys die, either accidents or disease, and all of a sudden you realize you got an opportunity to remove some of those blocks that kept you from becoming the best person you could be.
Well, Dick, thank you so much. That's inspiring.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. And Colin, we were talking earlier about this intergenerational interaction, and Sarah, obviously that's a big part of your program. But for those of us who aren't looking at retirement right now and aren't thinking about our own senior years, we need to recognize that seniors have a lot to offer as well, right?
Well, you look at the history that they have, the knowledge that they have, the experience that they have that we don't. And I say we being, you know, the younger population. 20-year-old in general has only had so much life experience compared to an 80-year-old who has seen multiple world or seen war, seen, you know, the invention of so many different things that the 20-year-old maybe hasn't even experienced yet. So I think that we as a society need to value what an older person can contribute to society, as opposed to, as marketers do at the age of 50, stop sending marketing surveys because they're no longer interested in their business. If you think about it, 95% of all marketing dollars are spent in the U.S. on people 35 and below. That sends a very strong message to the older population. You're invisible.
Sarah, your program is a pilot program right now. It sounds like you're having really tremendous results. Is this giving other people ideas for programs that might also be able to engage seniors?
I think so. Our research team made up of Dr. Warren Franke and Dr. Jennifer Margaret and I are looking at ways to expand the LIFE program. There's actually a website, so any community can go to our website, extension.iastate.edu/life. And have all the resources needed to implement life in their community. But we're also looking at that intergenerational component to see how we could use that to continue connecting the two generations, especially in a time where there are limited resources for those types of programming, and engaging the older adults within our service activities with Extension.
It sounds like you've just had terrific results so far. Have you been surprised?
Well, not really surprised. I mean, we based it on our needs assessment. When we interviewed older adults in Iowa and said, what motivates you to participate in physical activity or eat healthy? And the biggest proponent is maintaining their independence. And so that's really the angle we're taking with the LIFE program that can help you maintain your independence in older adulthood. An hour and a half a week can have substantial difference in your life. Yes.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sarah Francis is an assistant professor at Iowa State University and state nutrition extension and outreach specialist. Colin Milner, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Colin Milner is founder and CEO of the International Council on Active Aging. He'll be giving two presentations today at the Senior Center in Iowa City at 3:30 and 7. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. And with me now is Ben Kiefer. What's coming up today at noon on River to River?
Hi, Charity. A fascinating guest, Deborah Grassman, is visiting Iowa. She will talk about how the challenges facing veterans at the end of life are different than those for the rest of us. And she's cared for thousands of dying veterans through her work as director of hospice at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Fascinating woman and very, very important work to learn about at the noon hour.
Thank you very much.